The Rise and Fall of the Dinosaurs by Steve Brusati, read by Patrick Lawler. A few hours before light broke on a cold November morning in 2014, I got out of a taxi and pushed my way into Beijing's Central Railway Station. I clutched my ticket as I fought through a swarm of thousands of early morning commuters, my nerves starting to jangle as the departure time for my train ticked ever closer. I had no idea where to go. Alone with only a few words of Chinese in my vocabulary, all I could do was try to match the pictographic characters on my ticket to the symbols on the platforms. Tunnel vision set in, and I barreled up and down the escalators, past the newsstands and noodle joints like a predator on the hunt. My suitcase, weighed down with cameras, a tripod, and other scientific gear, bounced along behind me, rolling over feet and smacking into shins. Angry shouts seemed to come at me from all directions, but I didn't stop. By now, sweat was pouring through my downy winter jacket, and I was gasping in the diesel haze. An engine roared to life somewhere ahead of me, and a whistle sounded. A train was about to depart. I staggered down the concrete steps leading to the tracks and, to my great relief, recognized the symbols. Finally, this was my train, the one that would be shooting northeastward to Jinzhou, a Chicago-sized city in old Manchuria, a few hundred miles from the frontier with North Korea. For the next 4 hours, I tried to get comfortable as we crawled past concrete factories and hazy cornfields. Occasionally, I nodded off, but I couldn't steal back much sleep. I was far too excited. A mystery was waiting at the end of the journey, a fossil that a farmer stumbled upon while harvesting his crops. I had seen a few grainy photos sent to me by my good friend and colleague Jun Chong Lu, one of China's most famous dinosaur hunters. We both agreed it looked important, maybe even one of those Holy Grail fossils, a new species preserved in such an immaculate way that we can sense what it was like as a living, breathing creature tens of millions of years in the past. But we needed to see it ourselves to be sure. When Jun Chong and I stepped off the train in Jinzhou, we were greeted by a band of local dignitaries who took our bags and ushered us into two black SUVs. We were whizzed off to the city's museum, a surprisingly nondescript building on the outskirts of town. With the seriousness of a high-level political summit, we were led through the flickering neon lights of a long hallway into a side room with a couple of desks and chairs. Balanced on a small table was a slab of rock so heavy that it seemed the legs were starting to buckle. One of the locals spoke in Chinese to Jun Chong, who then turned to me and gave a quick nod.